The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. We have a lot of news. And once again, thanks to listener tips, we have some exclusive stories that we will share with you this afternoon. Very busy day. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I used to love the YMCA. Big part of my life. Big part. When I was 18 years old, I worked at a Y camp for, oh gosh, I ended up working there for about 2.5 years. I was a summer latchkey Y counselor. We would take latchkey kids and put them on a school bus every day in the summertime and go to various parks all around King County. I was based out in Bothell and Woodinville when I was doing this. But I loved it so much, and they loved me. So after the summer camp job, which I was expecting to be just a summer gig, I got a job as an after-school latchkey counselor. So every day as I was going to college, I'd go out. It was a long drive. I was living in Ballard. But I'd go out to Bothell every day, be there for the after-school program. It was 3 hours work a day, which was just one of my couple jobs that I was working at the time. But it was perfect because I could still be a busboy at night. But I liked working for the Y. And I did summer camp a couple of years. I did latchkey after school for a couple of years. It was a good summer job. And so then I became a dad many, many, many years later. And I coached at the YMCA when my kids were real little. And it's just been a nice part of life in many ways. Until now. The YMCA has gone off the deep end. It's absolutely gone off the deep end. Now, you may recall, we had an exclusive story a couple of months ago. After the George Floyd verdict, the executive director of the Snohomish YMCA, a guy named Peyton Toon, he sent out a letter scolding all of their patrons. He said, Derek Chauvin is a convicted murderer. He's been convicted of the murder of George Floyd. These are facts. If you're reading this, you probably don't live in Minnesota. Now, you probably live in Snohomish County, and you probably don't need to be scolded by the executive director of the YMCA. But I'm certain you believe yourself to be on the side of justice. And then he goes on, it was a victory for our nation. It was a victory not just for his family. And they went on to say, I watched this drama play out on TV, just like a play-by-play sports analysis, only this isn't a sport, this is real life. There's a danger that comes from drawing moral conclusions from a TV screen. But then he said, if we believe we are powerless spectators in a moral drama, we are made complacent and eventually complicit. As a white heterosexual male in the United States, I've always had privilege, but I've not always had accountability. It is my responsibility to do something with this unearned privilege. And then he started, then he went to the woke word dice. Being an ally is not a noun, it's a verb. It requires active participation to stand up against hate. And the dad who contacted me about this, his 5-year-old daughter was just about to start swim lessons at the Y. And in this memo, the guy said, the YMCA of Snohomish County reaches tens of thousands of families every day. We are committed to using our platform to elevate the voices leading the fight to root out the racism and injustice that has poisoned our nation for too long. Every Y program not only has the opportunity to make measurable progress in this fight, but the responsibility and mandate to do so. And the dad who contacted me said, so are they going to be talking social justice crap to my 5-year-old daughter who's there to get a swim lesson? He said it is a mandate that they do that in every single Y program. Now, I tried many times to get hold of Peyton Toon, and he very cowardly refused to come on and defend his letter to us and to just explain what that meant. I wanted to know, what does that mean for the Y programs? How are you going to teach 5-year-old swim class all about social justice? And why is that any business of yours? All right, so that was a couple of months ago. Got a new one for you today. The Dale Turner Y is one that I'm familiar with. It's in Shoreline. My wife and I have made several donations, memorial donations in people's name to the Dale Turner Y, you know, coaches that we've known who have passed away, who loved the Y, people who just, you know, were patrons. It's one of my favorite places to make a memorial gift. No more. Done. I'm done. Dale Turner, by the way, was a great man. He was a pastor, I want to say university congregational. When my wife first moved up to the University of Washington from Vancouver, Dale Turner was the pastor at the church she attended before she and I met. And she said he was a great pastor, a great leader. I think he wrote a column for the Seattle Times. And it's known as the Dale Turner Family YMCA in Shoreline. The YMCA, of course, stands for Young Men's Christian Association. So listener Cindy brought this to my attention yesterday. She said that starting today at the Shoreline Y for the summertime, that they have a diversity include global programs calendar. Now, you probably know where this is going. And before I get to it, let me tell you, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on a different topic, but I have, first of all, my longest time business relationship. My agent is a gay man, and I hate to people who say this sort of thing. I do have many gay friends. I really do, and one of them is a guy I used to work with, and he and his partner, as he and I had long talks because King County Library used to do drag queen story time, and I couldn't care less what adults choose to do for entertainment. It is none of my business. And I had talks with my former coworker, who I'm still really good friends with, because he and his partner liked going to drag queen shows. And that wouldn't be my thing, but I couldn't care less if somebody that's a friend of mine wants to do that, who's an adult. But I told him, I said, I just think that it is so sick and wrong to have children go and be exposed to this culture just so the adults and the parents can be so woke and so hip and they can tell their neighbor, oh, yes, we took Janie to drag queen story time. It was hilarious. There's nothing hilarious about it. I have no idea what anybody finds even remotely amusing about it. But again, if adults want to do it, I don't care. But when you start taking three-year-olds to drag queen story time, I think that it's sick and wrong. And I talked to my friend about it, and I said, well, look, and he agreed that drag queen culture is heavily, heavily, heavily into raunchy sex and sexuality, and there is a very heavy drug culture. That is undeniable. Nobody can deny those facts. So why, if you're a parent of a three-year-old, why would you want to expose your three-year-old to a culture that I'm guessing you would not want them to be a part of 20 years from now if it's about the sexuality and drug use? Why would you do that? I think that's a pretty fair question. Okay, so starting today, history and lifting our LGBTQIA plus voices at the Dale Turner Y. We present virtual drag story time with mercury poisoning. In celebration of Pride, we are hosting a virtual drag story time event featuring mercury poisoning. Drag story times are a unique way to engage children in learning about inclusion and diversity. Oh, wait. I forgot my woke word dice. Story times are a unique way to engage children in learning about inclusion and diversity. Yay! Through reading a selection of carefully curated books. Join us. We'll mix in a dance party and a fun round of Q&A for our little audience members for age 3 and up at the Dale Turner Young Men's Christian Association. So I thought, I want to find out who this mercury poisoning is. And I found one YouTube video with him as a drag queen wearing a big polka dot, bloomy dress. And he does identify as he, him, I believe he said. So I'm not Miss, what's the word you use? Oh, wait. I'm not misgendering him. That's right. So he does go by him. But he goes as a drag queen. So I thought I'd say, okay, so if the kids are enchanted by mercury poisoning and then they seek out mercury poisoning on YouTube, I just wanted to see what kind of stuff they would find.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mercury Poisoning. Thank you for tuning in today. And welcome to Pick Your Poison. Bum, bum, bum.
Mm. Okay. I don't know what Pick Your Poison is, but let's find out. And by the way, there could be, I suppose, two drag queens who go by the name Mercury Poisoning. This one on YouTube has the same name as the one at the Y. But it sounds like this person's here in the Northwest, too.
It's fine, because I look gorgeous, I'm feeling fabulous, and I'm a drag queen that's about to get drunk on camera, so you're welcome.
Oh, I remember thank you for that.
Oh my god, that's so pretty. Oh crap, my mom's probably gonna watch this and she's gonna yell at me because I said a bad word. Oh, look how pretty this is. Can you see that? Oh god, that's gorgeous.
Because he's making a colorful cocktail there.
But you know, my mama and my daddy raised me right. I may be sassy, but like, my mom and daddy taught me right from wrong and not to be an idiot. So you know what I'm doing? I'm keeping my happy ass at home, putting on women's clothing for y'all. Mm.
Snap. Okay, so that's who the little three-year-olds are going to be hearing stories from. Why? What's the point of this? I know what they say, diversity and inclusion. What does this mean to a 3, 4, 5-year-old? And why do parents think that it's funny? Why? Because there's nothing remotely funny in those clips that I played or in the entire tedious 20-minute YouTube video that I watched last night. The things I do for you, man, they're selfless. But there's nothing remotely funny. But everybody laughs because they're supposed to laugh. You know, when the multi-billion-dollar homeless industrial complex in King County, when they had a big staff get-together a year and a half ago, they spent money to fly in a drag queen to sing and perform. They're supposed to be feeding the homeless and housing the homeless, but they're spending their money. And the video of the drag queen rubbing boobs in the against the heads of the workers in the homelessness complex, it's just not funny. But as I said, if you're an adult and that's your choice of entertainment, I don't care. I have friends who do that or view that, go to those shows as entertainment. I don't care. But I think we all need to care about our children. And I would love to talk to a parent who brings their kids to Drag Queen Storytime and find out, have they really learned, have they looked into what adult drag queen culture is all about? Because it is about sex and drugs. And everybody who I know who's got that as their form of entertainment will confirm that and will affirm that. So why are you starting to expose your 3-year-olds to this? And then my question for the Young Men's Christian Association. I would love to, and I tried to find somebody from Dale Turner's family. Dale Turner, as I said, was a great man. He was a man of Christ. He was a man of the Word, a man of the Bible. And I wonder what he would think about the Young Men's Christian Association that's named after him and his family. If this is what he envisioned down the road, that we'd have little 3-year-olds sitting and listening to stories from drag queens. And by the way, I already know how everybody's going to misconstrue this, that it's hateful and drag-phobic or whatever it is. Nope. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. I couldn't care less about drag queens. I couldn't care less about adults who enjoy it. I couldn't care less about people who freely choose that for their own life. But doing that with your kids, sorry, if your compass is that far off, I will say that you're exposing your kids to a culture that's incredibly damaging. And I'll also tell you that at King County Libraries, when they were doing, and still will, they'll resume them, the drag queens would encourage the kids, follow me on Instagram, follow me on social media. And then I went to, if you were listening, this was a couple of years ago, I went to a couple of the social media accounts of the drag queens at the King County Libraries, and they were vile. Now, if adults want to be vile, be vile. Exposing your three-year-old to something and then follow me on social media. Or if your seven-year-old or eight-year-old says, okay, I'm going to start following. Let me see what that's all about. It's crazy. And I just don't know. Do the parents not know? Do they not care? Do they not do any research? Or are they just so desperate to have their woke neighbors and friends applaud them for their progressivity, for taking their kids? Oh, we went and watched a drag queen watch us read a story. It was hilarious. Jeez. Yeah, I'm done with the YMCA. Big part of my life. And I would love to know, how does that fit with the Christian origins of the YMCA? Now, we've called, we've emailed, we've tried to get them to come on and join us today at the Dale Turner Y, and they so far have not responded to our information. All right, I appreciate listener Cindy for bringing this to my attention. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, there are people who want to get Seamus Sawant out of office. A recall campaign is underway, but they are hated by the Marxists. And you won't believe what the Marxists are doing to them now. Details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Most controversial politician in our area is Seamus Sawant. And it's interesting. There's an effort underway to recall Seamus Sawant. And there's money that's coming in, and it's from her district is where the money is coming from for the Recall Sawant campaign. Now, the money to fight this campaign, to keep Sawant in office, is predominantly coming from out of state, from the Marxist organizations that like having a stronghold in the Seattle City Council. But it is out of state money that's trying to keep her on the council. They are also resorting to some really nasty tactics against the recall campaign. Henry Bridger is in charge of the Recall Sawant campaign. He joins me live here in the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Henry, appreciate you coming on with me today.
Hey, thank you, Dory, for having me.
Absolutely. All right, so tell me, I know that you folks, are you still in the signature gathering stage? Is that where you are?
Yes, we are. We've completed our first month, and we are now, last week we announced that we were one-third the way there, but as of the end of the week, we were at almost a little over halfway there.
Okay. Tell me why you're putting so much time and energy into this. Why do you think it's so important to recall Seamus Sawant? I mean, she has been elected. I don't understand why, but she's been elected. She's been reelected. Why do you think it's so important to overturn that?
The reason why it's important to do that is because she's broken the law. We've had the Superior Court back us on that and the charges, and then we had the Supreme Court after so many delays because of Sawant using the court system that she hates and talks badly about. She used it to her advantage to delay the ultimate words from the Supreme Court, which was unanimously they agreed on the three charges, and she's broken the law. So we are exercising our constitutional right in the state of Washington that we can recall a politician for breaking the law, abandoning their oath of office. And we are doing exactly that.
Absolutely. Okay, understood. So I saw one homeowner who had a recall Swant sign. They had security cam video, and some guy just walks up, rips the sign right down. They don't believe in fighting this in a let's win hearts and minds. They just want to take down and shut you guys up. But tell me about some of the other things with these. You've been getting a lot of mail-in petitions, right?
Yes. With the petitions, when we started opening those up, volunteers were opening them up, and thank God we were taking precautionary measures, because on Swant's Solidarity page, her Facebook page, they were telling them to take those petitions and filling them up with the return envelopes, filling them up with stuff. Because the weight, they come back and we're charged by weight. And so they've been putting things in them, rocks, candy and garlic was one of the first one I opened. And that was, we laughed. But they're also putting nasty, horrible comments and things on the petitions, which is illegal. They are not allowed to write on those. But they also have they used one and filled it with feces. And we had another one that came in, and it was, now that you've touched this, go ahead and smell your fingers, douchebag. And that was the first one someone opened, and the first thing we thought, you panic because they tell you to you've touched it with your bare hands. We didn't. And we immediately put it into a Ziploc bag and reported it to the FBI and the police. And then we get the other one with the feces in it, and they're putting anything and everything that they can. They are using so much energy to show their hatred and not using that for anything good, but to just show their anger and hatred. And they're filling it with mailers that they've found, or they're doing anything and everything they can to raise the amount of money.
So let me ask you again. So, did you say that it was an official Swant website or support Swant that were telling people, instructing them to do this?
Yes.
Are any of them official Shama Swant websites or web pages or Facebook pages?
Yes.
Her or her campaign?
Yes, the Shama Solidarity website, which is her campaign to fight us. And then on her official Shama Solidarity Facebook page.
So on her official page, and so what were the words? Because I haven't looked at those. What was the wording they used to tell people to sabotage these mail-in things?
The wording was to make, instead of sending in your petition, send it back. But then the comments from all of her supporters were going, fill it, you know what to do. You might want to tie it to a brick, which is obviously you can't do that. They wouldn't even make it through. But do what you can to raise the amount of weight, because we get charged for that because they think
I understand.
Billionaires are paying for this.
But you can tie those directives directly to her personal accounts.
Yes, I believe in collecting receipts, so I took screenshots of all of it.
Wow. Well, I know here's one of your fellow volunteers who talked to Cairo 7 about this harassment.
Grabbed my clipboard and took it from me and ripped everything out of it and started ripping everything up, which included a petition with a signature on it.
So that was a in-person confrontation. And this lady doesn't live in the district anymore, but here's what she said about that.
I am committed to doing this. My family sometimes wonders.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole attempt here, Henry, is the Marxists, and they do this in everything. They don't want to just win the war of ideas. They don't want to just, have more people vote for her staying than her recall. They want to destroy any dissenting thought. And we've seen this for years now here in the Seattle area. And she's part of a very, very dangerous movement that will not tolerate any dissenting thought from radical leftism.
Let me share with you, I've talked with some of her supporters at their red tables that they gather signatures for themselves on a fake petition. They're just doing that to data mine. However, they have said that they feel that we're doing everything we can to take away their vote, and we are not doing that. What they're actually doing is intimidating voters to not sign and to scare them. And that's the way that they're taking away our vote. They're doing exactly what they're saying we're doing. For instance, the video of the gentleman taking the sign, there was another email that came in last week. This is what the emailer said. I caught someone trying to destroy my recall swamp sign. When I confronted them, they said they would be back and destroy my sign and burn my house down. And they've also been throwing rocks from the rooftop of the Harvard Market and throwing them down on our volunteers, spitting on them, yelling at them, epithets, calling them racist, homophobes. They come up with everything.
Oh, I know.
And they are really becoming violent.
Well, yeah. I mean, they understand that they're losing the war of people's minds because everybody's sick of this nonsense around here, and that's the only means that they have now. Okay, so before you go, if people, I know it's restricted to people who live in her district, but believe it or not, some of those people listen to my show. If they want to sign a petition and help the effort to recall Swant, where do they go?
Okay, so if they live out of the district, but they know people in the district, implore them to sign the petition. But anyone in Washington State, we're letting them, they can donate up to $1,000, and they can go to SawantRecall.org and donate there. We need all the money we can to fight this. It's not cheap to do it, and she's dragged us through the court system. On our own dollar, where she's gotten that all paid for free by the taxpayers.
Yep. Oh my God.
But they can donate. They can encourage small businesses in the area, Bellevue, everywhere, to help donate up to $1,000 as well.
Okay.
We need
get. Okay. SawantRecall.org, correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
SawantRecall.org. Okay. All right. Henry Bridger in charge of the campaign to recall Sawant. I appreciate you coming on with me, Henry. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to help him out, or again, if you live in the district and want to sign one of the petitions, go to SawantRecall.org. We got a lot more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on, including, we'll tell you about pretty amazing lawsuit that's being filed against the Pierce County Sheriff. That and much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I think I'll tell you about the Troyer thing coming up in the Fastest 15. Checking your text messages. So we were talking about the drag queen story time at the Dale Turner Family YMCA, and I love this. We just got ratings this week, and once again, thank you. They were fantastic for our show, and we're the most listened to radio talk show in the Pacific Northwest, and I have you to thank for that. But I also have, for the people who disagree with me, I have their stupidity to thank, because I get these emails all the time, or text messages rather. And if the text messages are reflective of our general audience, then the people who disagree with me really, really are dumb. And that contributes mightily to my ratings. So, as I was talking about the drag queen story time, and here's the thing, they never say, here's why I disagree with you on this. But from the 425, I accidentally left the radio on. I can't tell you how many texts I get from people who are accidentally listening. Oh, my wife was listening to Seattle's Morning News, and she left it on Cairo in the car radio. So when I got on this afternoon, I was subjected to your nonsense. I mean, everything's accidental with them. I accidentally left the radio on, heard Dory Monson now attacking the Y. Enough of his vitriol and hatred. Remove this ass. Why do you disagree with me on that? Why do you think that three-year-olds should be read to by drag queens? You can't make that argument. But you accidentally left the radio. Do you know how long it takes to turn the radio off? Unless, as I said, you're just too moronic to know how to operate a knob. But you could turn it off and not even know what I'm talking about. If you can remove this ass just by going click, but you don't, because you're obsessed, because you know I'm right about these things, and you're trying to reconcile it in your mind, and you can't make a cogent argument against it, and so instead you just accidentally left my radio on. I love accidental listeners. I know you hate my show, but I love you because you contribute to our success mightily. And I just want to thank you for that very, very much. yesterday, I played you some audio from college students at the University of Texas. Campus Reform asked them, this was on Monday, on Flag Day. They asked them what the flag means to them. And oh, they hate the flag.
When you see an American flag, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
I guess recently a couple of negative connotations. Nationalism in a negative type of light, and maybe some exclusiveness and some selfishness.
A lot of things come to mind. First of all, war. Second of all, let me see. Well, we've also taken a bit of land from Native Americans. That's unfortunate, too. And a lot, and it's just really terrible that we've done all these things. And this flag kind of reminds me of that.
Well, they're not the only ones who hate America. Actor John Cusack, he went on a Twitter rant, not just against the United States of America, but against Boeing, our little Boeing up here. He's complained about bleeping awful America. He attacked Boeing for funding insurrectionist GOP members. Here are the tweets. We aren't great. We aren't even mediocre. We're bleeping awful, full of cowards and corporate whores. Boeing gets to take out tax dollars, parade our soldiers, wrap themselves in the flag while financially backing fascists. We have no leaders, no soul, just greed. I tell you what, that John Cusack, he'll say anything.
Sometimes.
It's so charming, this movie. By the way, this is the most romantic song ever written in the history of music. And so I'm dedicating this song to all the people who accidentally have their radio on right now. I see the doorways of 1,000 churches in your eyes, and I appreciate your stupidity in being unable to turn off a radio. Bring it up full, Andrew. This goes out to you.
The grand facade so soon will go.
Next hour, fastest 15 and lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.